Hey there, and what is up, you guys? I am so excited to be back with the Woman of the Week. These women of the week are moving right along, and hopefully what you're learning from these women in the Bible is just how excellent you are. It's just a reflection of us. These women existed way back in the Bible days, and now we are going to talk about them again tonight. The Woman of the Week, let me introduce her. Her name is Hagar. Now, I call her Hagar. I've heard people call her Hagar, but she's a significant woman in the Bible, and let's talk about how. But first, welcome back, you guys, to another episode of Sheila B on the Beat. You guys can find me on Facebook at Sheila Bela, spelled S-H-E-E-L-A, Bela, spelled the same way, and on TikTok at Sheila B _ on the beat, just like it sounds, on the beat, because I try to stay up with the news and on the beat. But I will hop right into it. Now, as I said when I first started this, it is very important to me to do these Women of the Week episodes because I was struggling getting back into my Bible, and I wanted to get back into my Bible. But with life and everything, being a wife and a mother, sometimes it was just so hard for me. So I said, you know what? What I'll do is I'll dive into the women of the Bible. Let me start there. Let me see how these women speak to me. And then while I revisit these women, right? Because most of them I've visited at least once before. I said, let me help some other people. Let me take away what social media is trying to do with us and get us back into God's word. So let's jump right into it. Hagar. So Hagar was an Egyptian slave. She was serving Sarah, who was Abraham's wife. And Sarah was unable to conceive. So God gave Hagar to Abraham as a, Sarah actually gave Hagar to Abraham as a surrogate to bear a child. So Hagar got pregnant. She got pregnant with Ishmael, which caused a little bit of friction between her and Sarah, which is so crazy because we have all been probably situations where we have friends who kind of don't like our success or people in our lives who feel a little bit uncomfortable with it. So after being treated a little bit bad, from Sarah, Hagar fled into the wilderness. So she ran. So here's the thing. These women speak to us. They are just like us, because a lot of the time when we are treated badly, when we're treated unfairly, when we feel unheard, we do the same thing, right? We jump ship. And then I know I have a big thing where I just get in my car and drive, because I'm just so, you know, unheard and oblivious to the world. But she ran into the wilderness. But keep in mind, when she runs into the wilderness, an angel of the Lord finds her and gave her a promise about her son's future. So guess what? Just like how Hagar ran away, God sent an angel to meet her. So in your darkest moments, in your anger, frustration, people treating you wrong, it's not always best to run away and isolate yourself, but let it just be a fact that if that happens and you feel lonely and you think no one's there, you think no one understands, I have literally felt like I'm not even attached to the earth sometimes. Remember that God is still there. And I don't mean that to sound cliche, but when I say God, I mean God, his angels, right? That's true. There's a whole nother world that we cannot see. So the angel of the Lord goes to her and promises her a son, promises her about her son's future. So despite being sent away by Abraham at Sarah's insistence, God continued to care for Hagar and Ishmael later down the line. And God actually tells through the angel of the Lord for Hagar to return to where she came from the mistreatment. Can you imagine that? Nobody talks about that. That's so unpopular. Everyone talks about how God is going to deliver them out of bad things and how God is going to snatch them out of bad situations and remove people from their lives. But God actually told through this angel to tell Hagar to go back to where she was being mistreated. But why? Why would God tell us to go back Why would God tell us to go back to where we're being mistreated? And oftentimes what we do is try to get away from the mistreatment, right? We want to get as far away from these people that are hurting us. We want to get as far away as possible from this, from that job that's hurting us. I'm just going to quit. But sometimes it's like the Lord makes it to where we can't move. What is up with that? Like, don't you see that I'm hurting and I'm in pain and I need to get out of this situation? Imagine that. Like, what situation are you in where you're just like, Lord, do you see me? Do you see what's happening to me? Do you see how I'm being treated? Do you see how they're handling me? This is not fair. It's not right. Why won't you just snatch me out of it? Let's talk about why. Now, let's just say, suppose Hagar never was mistreated. Would she have ran into this angel of the Lord still? Would she have gotten that promise about her son's future? We don't know. Why did she just coast it away, living a nice life, no issues from Sarah? And everything was just peachy keen. We don't know. So let this be proof that hardships bring us closer to God. Sometimes we have to feel what God felt. And while we have Bible scholars all over the world and preachers on Facebook and Instagram saying that God is going to bless you and God is going to give you beautiful homes and God's going to give you some money and God's going to give you a promotion, He's going to change your life, that's great. But if you believe God, you will believe where He says, if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. We're going to be just like Him. Lied on, accused, misused, ignored, right? Because people ignore God. Can you imagine being the God of the earth? You wake people up every day, give them strength, give them life, give them hope, give them their right mind, their children, and they don't even believe in you. They probably curse you. People do that to God. So imagine, who are we to say that we're any better? No, God, this can't happen to me. No, I can't be mistreated. No. Hagar was mistreated by Sarah and she wanted to get away from it, but it caused her to have an interaction with God that she probably wouldn't have had. But let's talk about why God might want us to stay in those hard places. Is it to get close to us? Is it to be near to us? So Psalms 34 and 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in the spirit. What? God is near to me if I'm brokenhearted? God is near to me. You're telling me that God is even closer to me when I feel bad, when I feel down? Yes. God is even closer to you in that moment. Psalms 147 and 3 says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Bindeth up their wounds. Not fixes them, not just puts a penny on them, but He binds them up. That's almost like being wrapped up in love, wrapped up in something that is unworldly. Wrapped up in His spirit, in His comfort. Yes. And imagine, just imagine not being able to get that if you just went about having a happy life, right? 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. So there we have it. We're building that bond with God through our hurt and that pain, casting all our anxiety on Him, casting it down. Yes. Now, here's one of the most powerful, I think, to me. And I say this because it paints a picture of why God does leave us in bad situations, hurtful situations, rather than just snatching us out. Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The word sight in this verse refers to the form and fashion of the thing seen. Right? 2 Corinthians 12:9. It's actually what I'm trying to read. 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is the one. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Oh my God. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. So in my weakness, in that time where I'm just feeling completely ignored, completely forgot about, nobody cares. No one's looking at me. No one cares about if I'm crying. No one cares about how I feel. In that moment, God is saying, my grace is enough to sustain you. I don't have to move you out of this. So what's something that you're going through? See, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And just like Hagar, he could have told Hagar, you know what, girl, don't even go back there. She's mistreating you. Mm-mm. But he tells her to go back. Why? Because his grace is sufficient. That means it's enough. It's enough to make it. That means situations where we think we have to be moved out of in order for it to get better. Nah, we don't have to be. Why? Because God has made us to be able to sit in hardships and overcome it and deal with it. God has given us his spirit. Jesus Christ, imagine that rugged cross he was on. He could have called a legion of angels to come get him, right? He could have, but he didn't. He loved us.